When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Try and write forever and always want to hold true to this is I don't write with the intention of putting a song out. I write with the intention of like for me. Like I write all my songs for me, and if I like them enough, great, then they'll go out. So when I'm in that mindset, I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm just putting it in my journal of quote-unquote songs. So I think that's where I'm able to dive in and be so vulnerable, is because I'm not thinking about the people that will actually listen to it, which gets me into trouble sometimes, but also I think lets it be as vulnerable and honest as possible. There's like a little snippet of like ha 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 and like laughing and talking in it, if you remember that. And I like put that in there and I was like, this is my favorite part ever. Like it makes it feel like a memory, like whatever. And my producer's like, this is awesome, but you know you're gonna have to reach out to him, right? And I was like,
wait, what?
Oh, was it a recording of you guys?
Yeah.
Was it like a video?
It was a video, and we just took the voice from it. And I was like, I wanna die.
Because you had to get his permission, right?
I had to get his permission. I didn't even think about it.
Hey, Busy, welcome to 8020.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, so happy to have you here. So you are a Nashville music artist.
Yep, Nashville-based, Maryland-born.
Which is so funny. We figured that out in the hallway.
Literally insane.
And
smallest
we've
world.
Probably crossed paths before.
100%. My sister has definitely docked your boat.
100%. So when did she work there? Like
she,
recently?
Yeah, she worked there the last two summers, and then she's going to do it again this summer.
Oh, so I'll definitely see her, like, this summer. That's crazy.
She's, like, the one girl out of, like, the six hot, like, little water boat guys. And we're always like, are you kidding me?
My mom always brings, like, bagels and, like, snacks and stuff. So if she ever has, like, mentioned a snack, it might have been from my mom.
I need to go ask her, because that's such a small... Okay, you were over by the Harris Teeter area. And
yes.
And then you moved. Okay.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah. And I have a lot of, like... DC, Annapolis, Ocean City listeners.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Stephen Decatur.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
So if you're coming in on 50, which if you like frequented Fenwick, you probably wouldn't come in on 50.
Yeah.
But it's like the only high school in...
Okay, then you definitely know my cousins too.
Did they go to Decatur?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's crazy. Such a small world.
Literally this small.
Such a small...
I
feel like Maryland's such a small town.
It's such a small town, but the like... I've lived here for, this is my sixth year, and the first year I moved here, I was like, there's going to be no one from Maryland. Within, like, the second year, I feel like half my friends are from Maryland, and I didn't know them in Maryland. Like,
that's
I met them in Nashville.
Wait, okay, so what part of Maryland were you,
like, raised in?
Yeah.
I was technically born in Ohio, but
wait,
I don't
me
claim.
Too.
Shut the frick up.
Where
were you born?
Cincinnati.
Okay, Cleveland.
Okay.
But how long did you live there?
6 months.
Okay, I lived there for, like, 2 years.
Okay.
I was,
okay. This is so weird.
That's amazing. So I lived there for 2 years, and then I moved to Maryland, like, Bethesda area.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet.
And then grew up, and then went to high school in D.C., and
okay.
Then moved to Nashville for college.
That's so crazy.
Literally insane.
Okay, so you went to Nashville for college.
Nashville for college. Went to Belmont.
Nice. And did you study music?
So I went in undecided, okay. And then I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And so then I applied for the songwriting program, and I didn't get in. So then I was like, okay, I will just do music business. So I did music business for, like, 2 years, and then I, like, didn't realize the part of music business is, like, a business degree. So you have to do all, like, the math classes and accounting and crap. And, like, when I go into, like, math classes, my brain, like, doesn't even try. It just starts shutting down. I'm like, no. Like, it's just nothing. So I walked into my accounting class, and, like, halfway through, I was, like, failing. And I went into the professor's office to be like, what do I, like, I'm not, like, a straight-A student, but I'm definitely not, like, a fail kind of person.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, this is stressing me out. So I walk in, and I'm like, what do I do? And she's like, she can't literally, and I'm starting to, like, tear up and cry in her office. She hands me a tissue, and she goes, you should drop the class. And I was like, okay, we're done here. So I dropped the class and dropped my major and switched to creative industry studies, which is, like, an easier music business minus the math.
Okay, honestly, though, that's probably, like, the better route. Did you get to do creative, more, like, writing, mm-hmm. English, like, that kind of path?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was just, it left more time, like, because I wasn't so stressed with school, to, like, co-write and learn how to just do the music industry outside of Belmont, which, like, is what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
So
what was that process like for you
it was like, I think I always knew, like, I always knew I wanted to do the creative route. I was just like getting the balls to do it. And so like starting out, I was like, I want to be the artist. I always knew I wanted to be the artist, but like didn't have the guts to say it. So then like slowly worked up my, like, I guess, like, how do you say that? Like gumption.
Yeah.
And like walked into rooms as just a songwriter. And I was like, all right, I'll learn the ropes as like co-writing, because I didn't even know what that was. Like, it was just, it was me writing in my room until I got to college. And then I was like, oh, people write together. So I learned how to do that for like 3 years. And then it wasn't until COVID when I was like, all right, literally the only reason you're not doing the artist thing is because you're terrified. And like, that's no reason at all. You need to just get out there. And so I started texting people that like were close now, songwriter friends of mine. And I was like, thinking about putting out an artist project, like, what would you think about it? And they were like, so supportive. Like, I attribute so much of like me even putting myself out there to just like the confidence that my friends gave me. And they were like, we're going to help you. We'll write, like, we'll do it. I wrote for like a year and a half for myself before I even felt like I like hit some sort of like, oh, this feels like me. And then once I like wrote anybody, I was like, oh, this is the song I want to release.
Do you think as a creative, your process was bettered because of the support that you had and your friends kind of just like pushing you to that next level?
Okay. 1,000%. I just think that support in general is so important in any endeavor, but creative especially, because it's not, it's so opinion based and it's so like math, 2 + 2 = 4. And in creative, it's like orange, blue, green. Someone could think that's ugly. Someone could think that's amazing. And it's just so, you're just putting yourself out there on a platter to be judged for everybody. So if you don't have a support system behind you being like, you're amazing, you can do this, even though it's like some days you really do suck, like, it's tough. Yeah.
So overcoming that fear that you had, you mentioned like during COVID, maybe like lockdown, were you back home in Maryland?
Yes.
Because you, did you have more time to just like be at peace to
totally.
Some degree?
Totally. Okay. Had time to think and just kind of come down from like, I don't know, just like, being away from my family. Like, I'm super, super close with my family. And like over COVID, it was like such a special time. Like, we all always talk about it because it was kind of like a time for us to like re-meet each other. Like, being, because all of us were home in this weird, like, serendipitous way. Like, everybody just came home at the same time and then we were all locked down together. So it was like lots of family fights, but also like we like grew up together, but now we were like meeting each other as adults. And it was such a special like bonding thing. So it gave me time to like come down and kind of like go back to my roots, as they say, and just like figure out like what was important to me and like kind of sift through all the bullshit.
Yeah, I kind of had a similar experience during quarantine because I'm the middle.
Me too. How many siblings do you have? Are we the same person?
This is sounding like kind of weird, but like in like a cool way. No, so I'm the middle. I've got an older sister and a younger sister.
I have 2 older sisters, 1 younger, all girls, baby.
So, yeah, that's so crazy.
I love it.
How
I
did this
it.
Happen?
No,
that's
literally,
so
we're living
weird.
Parallel lives.
We are. This is so weird. And then I've got tons of friends that are like, Lil, you need to move to Nashville. I had one friend, like my friends dropped me off and they were like, you need to move here because you could record podcasts all the time.
Yeah, you need to move here. I'll just say that now. Like, I'm here, so like your parallel life is here, so it must be.
It's starting to sound really good.
Great.
Great. Twist my arm.
Twist my arm. We'll move to Nashville.
I had a very similar experience. Like, I felt like it was such a time to be more at peace.
Totally.
And kind of reconnect, and I had a lot of big self-discoveries. Mm-hmm. And so from a personal experience, I can totally relate to you when you say like it was just kind of time to make a shift.
Yeah.
And so when you started to write, you wrote for about a year and a half.
Yeah, for me. So I was writing a lot, like, before. I was writing in my room and like for me, and things that I would write and be like, oh, that's not something I could pitch to other artists. And then I was writing with other artists. But for like a year and a half, I was like in co-writing rooms and by myself writing to like, like get better and find my kind of sound more with a purpose.
Okay. Yeah. What's that process like for you?
I would say it's very different in writing with people and writing by myself. Like, there, I would say there's like 2 processes. Writing with people took me a minute to learn how to be the artist in the room, because I'm very much like grew up a people pleaser, grew up very much like trying to get into the minds of somebody else to see what they wanted me to be, and then I would mirror that. So that, like, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity to like write for myself, because it's made me unlearn a lot of those habits and like kind of helped me not people please as much. Still recovering, you know. But it made me really just kind of like shift and have to look inward in a conversation where there's usually it's like 2 or 3 people in the room. And where I would normally be thinking about what they're thinking about, I had to think about what I was thinking about and how I was feeling and be like very much in touch with like what I was going through. So that process just like with other people, like it really involves me being very vulnerable and very honest and trying to be like, okay, this is what I'm trying to say. But I usually try and come in with some sort of angle, like I want to write about my siblings or I want to write about this relationship or whatever, just because it's so hard to get into someone else's mind that like giving them a path of like, hey, this is where I'm leading everybody. If we can all go down this road together, that would be great. Whereas like if I'm writing by myself, it's very much like sit in my room and like fiddle on my guitar for like 20 minutes until I kind of find a sound and like a lyric that I like. And then I follow that path because it's easy because I'm in my own mind. I'm not like leading people with me. I don't know. I love them both equally, but it's, yeah, they're both very self-discovery-esque things.
That's so interesting to hear about because I have always been so fascinated just by the music industry in general. Yeah. And so the writing process, I like to write, not songs, but
let's
be clear. I don't write songs, but I do like to write in general. And yeah. So writing like, just like journaling, or I have a little writing project that I'm working on right now.
Totally.
And it's been such a therapeutic process. And I can imagine that writing songs is the exact same thing.
1,000%. Like as every freaking songwriter artist says, like it saved my life for sure. Mm. Because it's therapy 100 times a day, 24/7. You're diving into your psyche and thinking about how other people are thinking. And I don't know. It's so helpful.
Speaking of songwriting, let's talk about your new EP. I Don't Get Breakups.
My first EP. It was so awesome to put out. It feels like chapter done. Yeah, feels nice to have out.
What is your favorite song on the EP?
Oh, that's so tough because, can I say two?
Sure. There are no rules.
Probably, okay, I Don't Get Breakups is probably like the pinnacle. Obviously, that's why the EP is called I Don't Get Breakups. It just kind of describes the entire thing. So I love that. And I love performing it. But my favorite one is Just Yet because I wrote that one alone and I wrote that one in such a vulnerable time in my life. And like I wrote that actually before I even said I was going to be like an artist. And it was just always important to me and always like rang so true to me. And then being able to release it and like have it do well and have people reach out and be like, this helped me so much through my breakup. Like, coolest thing ever.
I was driving in the car with my sister and I think Anybody came on. And this is like, I guess when Anybody came out, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, like a year and a half.
Okay. And we like cranked it up and we're like, who is this girl? She's so good. Like this song is so awesome. And then I heard Just Yet. Did that come out before?
That came out just after. Anybody was the first one and then Just Yet came out like a couple months after.
Okay. So then that timing adds up a little bit. But we heard that one and we were like, wait, this feels so personal. We're like, this just hits home. And so your songwriting ability to really just resonate with the listener is on a whole nother level.
That's so freaking nice. Thank you.
Absolutely. Do you think that there's something that has kind of trained you to do that? Or is it just kind of like innately in you? Have you like twisted your technique to kind of be that vulnerable?
I think no. And I think it's like the way I try and write forever and always want to hold true to this is I don't write with the intention of putting a song out. I write with the intention of like for me. Like I write all my songs for me. And if I like them enough, great, then they'll go out. But like I go into my room not being like, I'm going to write this so it'll go on Hot 99.5. Like I'm like, I just need to write this to write it and get it off my chest. So when I'm in that mindset, I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm just putting like it in my journal of quote unquote songs. So I think that's where I'm able to dive in and be so vulnerable is because I'm not thinking about the people that will actually listen to it, which gets me into trouble sometimes, but also I think lets it be as vulnerable and honest as possible.
Have you ever had an experience where someone's texted you and been like, whoa, this is about me?
Yes.
Okay. How did that go? If you're open to sharing.
No, yeah. So there's been sweet ones and then there's been not so sweet ones. But this one, okay, so this one, he didn't actually text me. I had to reach out with Just Yet in the beginning of the recording. There's like a little snippet of like, ha ha ha, and like laughing and talking in it, if you remember that. And I like put that in there and I was like, this is my favorite part ever. Like it makes it feel like a memory, like whatever. And my producer's like, this is awesome, but you know, you're gonna have to reach out to him, right? And I was like, Wait, what?
Oh, was it a recording of you guys?
Yeah.
Was it like a video?
It was a video, and we just took the vocal, the voice from it. And I was like, I want to die.
Because you had to get his permission, right?
I had to get his permission. I didn't even think about it. I was like, just in my creative like world, I was like, this is amazing. And then he's like, you have to reach out to him. And I'm like, okay. So I look back at our text. We hadn't talked in like 2.5 years. And I'm like, I'm going to die. So then I text him out of the blue. I haven't talked to this man in 2.5 years. I'm like, hey, long time no chat. Should we like hop on a call quick? He's like, at work, like I'll call you in 30 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'm sweating for those 30 minutes. I'm like, what is he going to say? I get on the phone and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, so like, I'm going to release a song about you. It's a sweet one, but like, still has you in it. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, you're welcome for the inspiration.
Whoa.
I was like, I hate you. Bye. I'm done.
Oh,
so then
my
I was
gosh.
Like, awesome. Hope you're doing well. And then like literally got on the phone with my best friend. And I was like, what the frick?
You'll never believe what just happened.
Literally. But
oh my
whatever.
Gosh. You're welcome for the inspiration.
I was like, come on, man. Like, don't be a jerk. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So I have some good stories for sure. Yeah, it comes with the territory. But I'm also like, I get the last word because I'm the songwriter. So
absolutely.
No matter what you say to me, it doesn't matter because I will forever get the last word.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like almost like I need to get advice from you in this area.
And I love this.
Okay, great. Perfect. So I have a chapter in a book coming out in 2 weeks.
Wait, you're writing a book?
Somewhat. So it's an anthology.
What is anthology?
Okay, I'll give you the skinny. So this woman woman named Jess Buchanan, she's a mentor of mine. She has a crazy, traumatic, insane story of how she got kidnapped. She was working as a humanitarian aid worker in Somalia.
Okay.
Kidnapped by Somalian pirates. Held captive in the desert for 100 days, or about 100 days, and then rescued by SEAL Team 6. Insane story. I had her on the podcast. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, please send it to me.
Insane story. She wrote a book called Impossible Odds, and that kind of outlines the kidnapping, the rescue, and kind of the aftermath and, like, recovery of that.
Yeah.
Since then, she has really turned her platform into kind of used the story as a launch pad to have a platform. So she speaks at different events, TED Talks, Navy SEAL Foundation stuff. She's got a publishing company. I feel like I could connect you guys because she is an incredible writer. Not songwriting. I know that it's a lot different.
No, it's still writing.
I feel like there might be something cool there.
I would love that.
She is putting out her second volume in this series. So her first book was Impossible Odds. Her second book was called Deserts to Mountaintops. And she did one chapter in the front of that book and then invited like 20 other women to write a chapter.
Dude.
Yeah. So yeah.
Let's go.
So kind of cool. I wrote a chapter.
Amazing.
In her second volume of that, and it's coming out in 2 weeks. But I'm freaking out.
Why?
Because I wrote about people and things that really did me dirty, and so now I'm like, I'm waiting for the phone call.
You're like, shit. Honestly though, okay, this sounds probably fucked up. Am I allowed to curse on here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually like the best feeling ever. Like, there's like, there's like such a feeling of like untouchableness that you get with it. Like, you're like, yeah, like they could definitely be so mad and probably shit talk me or whatever, but I'm also like, you're in a fucking book. Like, you're like, I'm putting these words in a book about how you wronged me. Like, now the entire world knows about it.
Yeah.
And like,
well, and it's kind of like weird and poetic in a way that like, I'm the only one who knows who like this guy is who wronged me.
Totally. You know, and but like, he knows who he is too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just you two. And you're like, what's up?
I don't know. It's kind of like a weird feeling, but how have you dealt with maybe on a personal level?
Yeah.
Because it's like these people were once close to you. Or maybe it's your family learning about things that...
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like my grandparents pre-ordered this on Amazon. I got the foreword from it. And I talk about things that I'm, you know...
I'm like, talking about sex, grandma. Don't...
Yeah, no. And
out
I,
me.
Yeah. And so I'm, you know, I talk about shame and, you know, just like it's so... wildly vulnerable. It's terrifying. And so how do you deal with that on a very personal level?
there totally is that aspect to it. I don't know. So on the aspect of like the human that I'm talking about, when I release it, it feels like it's no longer mine. Mm-hmm. Like it's like I write it, I pour every ounce of my emotion, everything into it. But once it's out into the world, it's like, okay, that's somebody else's. Like even to this day, I look at my Spotify page and I'm like, that's awesome for that person. But like it does not feel like it's mine, which is like probably something I need to dive into, but also like helps me be like, there's like gap from it. There's like
disassociating.
Yeah, there's from, like a little bit of like, this is me and that's something I wrote that now other people can either love or hate, and that's fine. But it's not like who I am. And then when it comes to like my family and my parents and like people that I love that I like am talking about intimate things and don't necessarily share those things with them otherwise, it's tough. And it's something that like I've had to like work through with my parents and stuff. And just in like in the sense of like my family, my mom's super Christian and I was raised that way. And I believe in God, but I have definitely a different relationship of like the faith and of all of that stuff with than my parents do. And so I don't know, we've gotten to this place, like a really healthy place of them being like, as long as you're being like truthful and you're saying what you really feel like you need to be is need to be said, then like we support you and we're there for you 24/7. And like that is such an awesome feeling to be like, okay, they don't love when I say like dick in my song, but like but like they're still gonna be at every concert and be like, we freaking love our dad, or like we're there for you. And so like that's when I can be like, okay, it's gonna be fine. Like even if I don't know, I just think that there's like such an understanding, because like I think the reasons that like my songs hit people so much is because I'm brutally honest. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not brutally honest, then I'm not being honest with myself or
it's
with
like,
them.
What's the point at that point?
Totally. You know? And like my parents can see that, and like my grandparents can see that, even if they don't get the language or the promiscuous moments in them or whatever. So it's definitely been a battle, but I think it's also helped like our relationships grow too.
Mm. That's so interesting that you say that, because I 2 weeks out now from this book
has anybody
launch.
In your family read it?
So my sister, both my
siblings are easy. You're like,
so easy.
Mom's gonna kill you for this line, but like you're doing great. I love that one.
Yeah. No, and it's so true. And so like I sent it to both my siblings and they're like, rock on, girl, yes. Like get it. But yeah, and then I sent it to my mom and I said, I don't want any feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. And you sometimes have to say that.
Yeah. And but I think it was good. And then she ended up sending me like a really nice message.
Good.
So okay. It was good. But I'm like, I don't know, it's just still such a weird, but totally. I really appreciate your advice, because that's totally. So helpful. And just hearing it from someone who has been in that position before is so helpful. So thank you.
I honestly have no idea what I'm doing and I wing it every single time, but I think that that's half the fun too, you know? And also like I think like once that book comes out, you're going to be like so empowered. You're going to be like, I wrote those words and like they're honest, and like, yeah, that's terrifying, but that's like so empowering. You know?
I hope so.
Yeah. I want to talk to you in like 2 weeks, and then you can be like, yeah,
I'll
I feel like a
copy.
Bad bitch.
I'll send you a
please
copy.
Please do. I
want to
read
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Oh, so awesome.
I would love to. Okay. Let's talk about TikTok.
Great.
And social media.
Yes.
Because from what I've heard, a lot of your initial success came from TikTok.
Totally. I will never bash TikTok as long as I live, because it gave me the platform that I have. Like, it's a tool. If it's used correctly, and sometimes I don't use it correctly, it's a tool. And it's like, I just think that like the amount of audience and people we can reach these days is insane. And like people like me would have never had a career 20 years ago when labels were running the show. So it's something that I struggle with, but also really am so grateful for, because it can either be so time consuming and you can fall down like the doom scroll on TikTok and be like, okay, what the frick am I doing with my life? Everyone's more successful, whatever. Or you can be like, great, I have a new song. I'm going to be able to post about it 24/7 and reach people in freaking London and Australia that I would have never been able to reach. So I try and really keep my mind towards that. And my sister can attest that like we've got some spirally days, but like for the most part, I try and keep it positive.
How do you deal with hate? Hopefully it doesn't come a lot, but when and if it does, how do you deal with that?
In probably like a egotistical way, but I'm like, this is fake. Like, I look at the comments and I'm like, you're like a 12-year-old boy in your little basement is complaining about something. And like, I'm sure, I know not everybody likes my music. That would be insane if they did, you know? But it's one of those things that, like, I think comes with the territory. And also, like, growing up, I adore my father, but my dad is my harshest critic ever. Like, I would go down and show him songs and he'd be like, yeah, I don't like it. And I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go cry in my room for a little bit, but then I'd write another one. And so, like, I think having him as a dad and as, like, just something, like, constantly being like, no, that's not it. Like, it doesn't scare me when someone says, like, that's a shitty song, or, oh, I hate this, or this is cringe, or whatever. Because it's like, sure, you can think that, but, like, at least I'm doing it. At least I'm putting myself out there, you know? And, like, I think when I get in those moments of, like, oh, my God, like, I suck, this is terrible, whatever, I can, like, go back to, like, am I being honest? Am I being vulnerable? Am I being real? And if I am, then it's easier to be like, okay, well, someone can hate on it, but I'm still me. Whereas, like, I'll post things sometimes and I'll be like, ooh, that was not me. I should not have posted that. That feels unreal. And then if I get, like, a comment like, this is cringe, I'm like, and you're right, it is. And so then it's just, like, checking myself constantly. I don't know, but yeah. I'm still learning how to
deal with
it.
I feel like that's a good skill to have, though. Like, you know, just, like, taking a little, like, self-inventory, but also not letting the negative feedback bring you down.
Totally.
Which is so cliche to say.
No, but I think, yeah.
And no, but you're so right in the fact that, like, you don't, like, these people really don't matter.
No, they don't.
They really don't matter.
Totally.
And I think it's the people closest to you where, you know, if you're in your upbringing, you know, being challenged and encouraged
in a very honest way,
I feel like that is so empowering.
Yeah, totally.
You know, kind of like sets you up to receive feedback.
Totally. And it's funny because, like, at the time I would have told you no way is it empowering, but now I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I don't have thick skin. I would say I'm definitely sensitive, but I have a thick skin in the sense of, like, I can get to the root of it. But, you know, it's learning every day.
So let's talk a little bit about little you, like childhood you. Okay. Did you always want to do music?
So it's funny. No, I grew up like the sports kid of my family.
Okay.
Was always like doing swimming, soccer, tennis, like 24/7, just had way too much energy for my own good, which is where the nickname Busy came from. But I grew up like on a summer swim team and like fell in love with swimming and originally wanted to be an Olympic swimmer, which is so funny now because that's so far from what I'm doing. But I did that from when I was like 3 to like 17, and I was like competitively swimming like the 4 a.m.
Can I
practices,
ask what your what like
if
your,
you say you swim, I'm gonna freak
no,
out.
No, I did. What was your
shut up?
What was your USA team?
It. What do you mean my USA team?
Like, did you like do like USA swim meets?
No, I did. Okay. What did I do? I did Tollefson, Sea Devils, and what was that other one?
What,
I don't know.
What county was Bethesda?
Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah. What was yours?
Well, so I was down in Ocean City. So yeah. We were the Ocean Pines Hammerheads.
Okay. And did you do the...
do like meets at like the Naval Academy. We would
yes.
Do, yeah. I'm sure we swam against each other.
What is going on?
That's crazy.
Wait, did you do, oh my gosh, Junior Olympics?
No. Okay. I wasn't that good.
Okay, that
I
was like my pinnacle moment. But I was like, if you did that, then we have met. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, we would just do, I would do like USA meets and stuff.
Okay.
But like, you know, just nothing.
So
I wasn't
insane.
That fast. But if you swam in high school too, I'm sure maybe our high school swam against you.
Maybe St. John's?
I don't know.
In D.C.?
Maybe. I feel like it was so long ago.
So long ago.
I can't remember.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's funny. Then I pivoted to music when I injured my back, and I was like, okay, can't do swimming, so.
Did you play, like, guitar or piano or anything growing up?
Yeah, okay. So I, like, did the classic, like, you'd play piano. Like, I'd do piano lessons for, like, probably a couple months, and then I'd, like, drop out, and then every once in a while I would, like, kind of pop back in piano lessons. And then I took guitar lessons my 8th grade year. And that was when I really started to be like, oh, this is kind of fun. And I would just, like, play in my room and kind of started to write around, like, 12 or 13. And that's when I, like, always just looked at it as a hobby. It was, like, just something fun to do in my room. And I was obsessed with Taylor Swift. So I was like, she writes songs.
Yep.
I can write songs. Like, hello. And so – and my older sister played guitar. So that's why I originally started. And I was in choir in high school, and then I did like voice lessons on the side. Just, I don't honestly know why, which is funny. Like, I think going into high school, I was like, oh, music could be like a cool thing. Like, sounds fun to be like a singer. And then, but like, didn't know. And then when I injured my back, I was like, oh, we're just going to full on pivot.
I always truly believe, though, that we always end up where we're supposed to be. And oh, so preach. Injuring your back led you to
1,000%. Yeah. Yeah. Everything happens for the way it's supposed to, for sure.
Every time. Let's talk about you toured.
I toured.
You went on a little bit of a tour recently.
Mm-hmm.
What was the highlight of that?
Oh, my God. So it was my first tour. So I was just like a little kid in a candy shop. It was so fun. And so I was touring with Friendship, who are like my dear friends. I love them. And so I think like my favorite, there's so many favorite parts, but I think my favorite part was being able to like perform these songs live that like I'd been singing in my room for so long. And like I'd played one-off shows and stuff, so like I'd gotten to see it, but like doing it in every single city and seeing like different fans and like just, I don't know, the interactions. I think I'm just such a people person that like getting to meet these people and be like, oh my God, like you messaged me on Instagram, or oh, I remember this photo that you like tagged me in because you whatever. And like getting to connect with them and see like how my songs like actually affected like real humans was probably my favorite part. It was just like, I don't know, I freaking love tour. I want to go back 100 times.
Do you have plans to go back anytime soon?
Fingers crossed. We have no idea. It's kind of up in the air right now, okay. But that's the goal.
Okay. That's exciting. So,
yeah, it was just such a fun experience and, like, going to different cities. I, like, am not a traveler. Like, I would say, like, my younger sister and my second oldest sister, like, have the travel bug. They want to go to, like, Uganda and Fiji and whatever. And, like, I would look at them and kind of envy it because I'd be like, well, I want to travel. Like, that sounds really cool. But, like, I'm, like, a routine human. Like, I like my routines. I like waking up and I like making my bed and doing my coffee and whatever. And I was a little nervous to go on tour just because I was like, I like routines, and I didn't know how it was going to like roll with that or whatever, but it was so amazing. Like, it was like, it gave me like this like ability to like get into a cool routine, but also be in a different city every night and like get to experience traveling, but experience traveling with like a purpose. And I think that that's like, I don't know, it was like my perfect little travel guide.
What was your favorite city?
Oh, that's so hard. I think, okay, there's two. Either, so, okay, Chicago was my favorite one, like, music-wise, because they are fans of music. Like, holy smokes. Like, I remember talking to one of my friends, and they were like, Chicago is just a different breed. Like, they are just, like, music fans. And I was like, okay. Went there, and I was, like, blown away. Like, these people were rowdy and, like, knew every single lyric to every single song. And it was just, like, the energy was different. So that was really awesome. And I had never been to Chicago, so that was fun. And then Minneapolis, like, the show was really fun and the people were amazing, but the city was so cool. I got to walk around before and it's, like, this hidden gem that, like, nobody knows about. It's extremely clean and, like, such a cute little, like, city and town. And, like, I don't know. If it wasn't so cold, I'd probably live there.
That's so interesting.
I know. It's so funny. It's such a random place.
I've never been.
Me neither, until then.
Yeah. That must be so fun, though, like, getting to just see, like, little glimpses into different cities and life. And
yeah. It was, like, the perfect ADHD tour, because you're only there for, like, a night. Yeah. So I'm, like, done. Not bored yet. I just got a little taste.
Did you have a bus?
No, we were in a Sprinter van. So okay. It was me, my manager, and my two bandmates and a photographer.
So fun.
Yeah. It was really fun. It was, like, just, like, such good memories, like, us after shows, like, driving at 3 a.m., like, absolutely cracked out on, like, the high of being on stage and the fact that we haven't slept in God knows how long. It was so fun. We have such good memories from that trip.
That's incredible. I looked through your Instagram a little bit. A little stalking.
A
little IG stalking.
I love it.
And it looked so fun. It looked like such a blast.
That is something, like, I hope every tour is like, and I don't know if it will be, but, like, I think also, like, being such close friends with the headliners was, like, such a gift, because we were able to, like, go, and they were, like, they treated us so well. They were just, like, nice and would let us share the, like, green rooms and, like, let us eat their food and, like, hang out with them and just, like, be goofy during soundcheck. And, like, it felt like one big family kind of traveling together, which was such an awesome experience.
So I want to kind of talk about friendships in your 20s, but also friendships in doing something that's not a normal 9-to-5.
Totally.
Because there are so many people who listen to the podcast, and probably my top question that I get from people is, how do I make friends? Because I'm not doing the traditional thing.
Yes, 100. Making friends as an adult is extremely hard.
It's one of the hardest tasks I think I've ever done.
Yeah, so and it's also like you're not trying to change for other people now. It's like you're trying to be more you. So like you're not trying to people please your way into a friendship or do things you don't like. You're like, okay, I'm old enough to be like, no, I don't fucking want to stay out till 5 a.m. and do that. And if you do, amazing. But like, I'm like such a grandma. Like, I'm like, I don't want to stay out till 5 a.m. and party. Like, I want to go bake cookies and watch a movie and like maybe do a puzzle. Like, but it's like finding people like that to like connect with, and like, where do you go? You don't just like find them on the streets. I don't know, my way of finding friends, like, I was fortunate in the way that Belmont is so weird because it's all music people, and it's like the industry is Nashville and LA, so all of my friends are either stayed in Nashville or they moved to LA. So it was such an like an easy transition, for lack of a better word, from college to real life, because it felt like nothing changed, because it kind of felt like I was already in the industry through Belmont. So I just kind of like moved into a different house and kind of found more friends through that. But I do cherish my friends that I found like outside of college and like not in the industry. I think like the biggest superpower is like finding like one friend. And if you can find one friend, like taking that friend everywhere and being like, let's go to the bar, let's go to like a meeting, not a meet and greet, but like just like different little events. And there, like, I feel like I've picked up so many friends, like that we did like a, not a karaoke night, what was it, trivia night at a bar, and I feel like I made like 4 friends, and we still hang out to this day. And I'm like, it's just like dumb little things that you're like, I don't want to go, but like forcing yourself to like put yourself out there and be like, all right, I'm gonna do it. I think that's helped me a lot.
I love that. I think for me, I would totally agree. Like, the best friendships that I've acquired are ones that I've kind of like collected. Totally. Just like in random places.
Totally.
I worked at a restaurant briefly. And
love it. What kind of restaurant?
Pussers in Annapolis.
Oh, okay. So that's how you get the bag.
Yeah, so I got the backpack. It's a good backpack. I packed in a carry-on, and like, that was my, I had like a small like carry-on duffel.
Do you know? Oh, I was gonna say, you just packed that whole bag.
No way.
For giving you guys context, it's like a little Under Armour like backpack.
Yeah.
And I thought she carried her entire stuff.
No. That was packed to the brim, so much so that it was, I was like sitting at the gate, and I like went to get my computer out, and like everything spilled out, and then like these guys are like watching me, mm-hmm. like try to stuff everything back in. It was really embarrassing.
Were they cute too?
No.
Oh, okay.
They were just judgmental.
Yeah, you're like, all right, close your eyes. You're not even cute.
Yeah, and I'm like, you could help me.
Yeah,
you could
literally.
Come over and help me.
Yeah, literally.
But no. Anyway, I don't even know where I was going with this.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you
joined a restaurant. You worked at a restaurant.
Yes. Okay. So I worked at a restaurant, and people coming into the restaurant kind of just like naturally became friends.
Whether
it's like, oh, like, hey, like, you know, like, let me get you a drink. Okay. Like, you know, do you want to exchange information?
Totally.
And so I think it's like you can almost pick them up anywhere. But what I've also realized is that then it's backfired sometimes because I'm a little too nice.
Oh,
have
okay.
you struggled with this as well?
I think no, because I would say like I'm a people pleaser, but I'm also like someone who like gets overwhelmed by too many things to do. So then I just stop answering my phone.
That's valid.
So it's like not the best thing to do, but I think that is how I've like maintained a good amount of friendships, where like the ones that I'm like not that close with, they kind of like
fizzle.
Yeah, they fizzle because I just like won't put the effort in. Which is probably a downfall, but I think that's helped me in some ways.
I feel like, though, that could be good because you're putting your priorities, you know, putting your energy into your priorities.
Definitely priorities. People. I just think, I also just, like, as we get older, like, that's, like, one thing I'm so, like, adamant about is, like, the quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have, like, people who work 9-to-5, like, they have, like, 2 hours after work, if maybe. They're probably freaking dead tired.
Yeah.
And then they go to bed, and then they do the same thing, and then their weekends are, like, gold to them. Like, my friend works 9-to-5, and she's like, my weekends are everything to me. And so, like, I don't want to spend it with someone that I'm, like, mediocrely close with. Like, she's like, I have, like, 5 close friends, and that's, like, all I can even handle. And sometimes that feels, like, too much. And, like, I think as we get older, like, it's so much more like putting in effort into the close friends that you have and really being like, I cherish this friendship and I want this to work, like, even as life gets busier and more crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Like, definitely, like, putting your priorities
straight and in order.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire questions.
Every podcast does this, and I sweat every time. All right, all right.
If you're not already sweating because of the lights.
I actually am sweating, so no, this is too good. It'll just add to sweat.
There's only a few, so.
I'm ready.
Okay. What is your most useless skill?
I can wiggle my ears.
Really?
Yeah, great. Can Let's watch it.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now I'm going to sweat too many. Okay, wait. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I wonder if they can see it on camera. I'll zoom in.
Okay, great.
I'll zoom in when I go to edit.
I learned how to do it when I was like 3 because my uncle could do it. And like he would like show off and be like, can you do this? And I was like, I don't know. I practiced for like literally a year to do that.
I'm like thinking about it now and like how the logistics would go.
It's almost like try like moving your like forehead back. It's the same kind of muscle. It's the same kind of muscle.
Wait, what?
What? You have to like, I'm like doing it in my headphones. Like, it's like, like, Jesus. Like, you just gotta focus on like your eye muscles and like all of a sudden. I know everybody in this room is trying it right now.
Everyone's trying to wake. Everyone listening, like they're in their car, like,
oh, I know.
They're at their desk.
And the ones like, that can do it know exactly what I'm talking about. I wish I could describe this better, but I'm not doing that. So here we are.
All right. Frick. Ear wiggling.
Yes. Pointless skill. Nice.
All right. Title of the last book you read and would you recommend it?
Oh, wait. What did I just read? I read it by Ellen something and I would recommend it. Shoot. Something Paradise. Trouble in Paradise was one of them. It was a what did they call that? A try.
I want to say trifecta, but
it's not a sequel. It's a
trilogy.
Yes. It was a trilogy, yeah. And it's by Ellen something, and she writes like these beach reads, but they're mysteries. And so I'm like, I'm a sucker for like a rom-com moment, but like I get bored because you all know it's gonna happen, they're gonna fall in love
naturally.
But with the mysteries, it keeps me interested. One of them is called Trouble in Paradise. I'll find out, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
So you can
I'll
put
link
it, on
it
the,
in the show.
Yeah. But it's a good book, you guys should read it.
Love it. What is a non-negotiable part of your morning routine?
Making my bed. The first thing I do, make my bed. I don't know. I think I read some one of those like self-help things when I was like 8th grade, and I've made my bed ever since, and it just like sets my day in routine. And
was
like,
it the book Make Your Bed?
Oh no, I don't think so. No. Did you read it? Of course you did, because we're the same human.
Yeah.
That's insane. But I remember being on tour, and me and my manager would share a room, and like we're sleeping in hotel rooms where they make your bed for you, like you don't have to do that. And like I remember the first time she was like in my room with me or whatever, I like got out of bed and like started making the hotel bed. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's part of my routine. If you want me to be sane on this trip, we're doing this.
We're making the bed.
Okay.
I love it.
So yeah.
What is your favorite piece of clothing in your closet right now?
Like one clothing or like jackets?
Like a piece of clothing.
Okay. Oh my gosh. My grandfather's fur jacket. It's fake.
Okay.
But I, over the holidays, like he had the best style. He passed away like a while ago, but he had the best style. And my aunt like finally put all of his stuff in storage, and she was like, it's just sitting there. Like, you guys should take some. And I got this like, I literally posted a picture of it on my Instagram because I'm obsessed with it. It's like freaking massive. And I just looked like this little like New York Valley girl, but like, I feel really cool in it, so that's probably my favorite one right now.
I love it. What song is on repeat right now?
Vertigo by Griff. Okay. I love that song. There's something about that chorus that, like, is an earworm.
I haven't heard it, but I'll have to look it up.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Celebrity crush.
There's so many. Who's that guy? Here's the problem, like, with artists too and with actors, like I'm gonna be like, I'll be describing them entirely. I can name every movie they were in, but I'll never remember their name. And same with songs. Like, I'm like, oh, I'll be able to sing the whole song, forget the artist's name. It's really bad. He had like a famous grandfather. He's in Longest Ride. This is the most
cool. Ooh, I just watched the
Longest Charles Ride. Something, isn't it?
Is it the lead in Longest Ride?
Yeah.
Oh, let's look it up.
Oh my God, he's so
cute. Because I just
watched
Longest. Did he have like a little bit of an accent too?
Maybe
Scott Eastwood.
Yes.
Yeah, he's cute.
Charles. Where the frick was I getting that from?
Yeah.
Scott Eastwood. He's so cute. Like yeah. I'm into like the little rugged like outdoorsy guys. Oh yeah, yeah, he's so
no,
cute.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
He's
love
cute,
it. Love
he's
it.
He's cute. And the final question great. That I ask all of my guests.
Okay.
The average age of my podcast listener is about 22.
Cool. Love
so
it.
So if you could go back and tell your 22-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, this is good. Okay, I want to like think on this.
Take
if
time.
I could tell myself one thing at 22, like this sounds so lame, but it's actually probably what I would tell myself is like be where you are. Like the classic thing of like be where your feet are, like soak up every minute, because even though you're worried about the future and worried about what's going to happen and if you'll do good things or if you'll whatever, like you are living that moment for the only time that you're living it, and the people in it you might not see again. So soak that in and be where you are.
Such good advice.
It's so cheesy, but I think the cheesiest advice is why it's cheesy is because it said so much, because it's true.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
I'm stoked. This was so fun. We're just parallel living.
We really are. Like the similarities are kind of weird.
It's insane. It's literally
kinda
scary,
weird.
But whatever.
Kind of weird. If people want to check out your music or follow you on social, where can they do that?
Sorry I'm busy, Sorry. And then I'm busy, BIZZY, on Instagram, TikTok, Spotify. It's just BIZZY in all caps. And then YouTube is Sorry I'm Busy Too.
And I'll have all those linked in the show notes for you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you, Busy, for joining us.
Thanks for
us.
Having me. This was so fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got to come on and we got to chat.
Me too.
Love you guys so much. If you enjoy the show, please be sure to give it a rating and review. That just helps more people find and listen to the show. You can follow me on Instagram. All that will be linked in the show notes. Follow Busy. Check out our music. And we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.